Then the Sheikh goes on to say, and the second part of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ, which means they protect the rights of their husband when they are not present. They protect and preserve the rights of their husbands when the husband is absent. And this is also when the husband is present. They protect and preserve his wealth. They protect and they preserve his bed. They protect and they preserve the rights of the husband and the obligations towards him. They are protectors in the absence of their husbands. Also, the female which fulfills this obligation, the female who fulfills this obligation of protection, she does so by the help of Allah, by the success of Allah. She does so by the ease of Allah, His assistance, His guidance and direction. And that's why Allah said, حَافِظَاتْ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ. And they protect in the absence of their husbands, they protect the rights and the likes in the absence of their husbands with that which Allah has ordered them to protect. Meaning, this affair is not merely because of the qualifications and the capability of the female, nor is it because of the intelligence of the female. But in fact, it is implemented and performed by the female based on the tawfiq, based on the success of Allah, based on the guidance and the direction of Allah, the ease that Allah gives her to do so. And this point reminds us of something that I mentioned aforehand, something that I mentioned at the beginning of this lecture, where I said the success of correcting oneself comes from Allah. Correction comes from Allah. Direction and guidance, all of it is the tawfiq, is the success that Allah bestows upon the female, and the ease and the assistance. And what also is considered a part of the statement of Allah, qanitat, yani in constant worship, is the fact that the female preserves the obligations of Islam. She preserves that which is obligatory in the religion. And there's another proof to support this particular meaning. In fact, many other narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have come in support of this meaning. From amongst those narrations is that which is reported by Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, in his authentic book, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a female prays her five daily prayers, and she fasts her month, the month of Ramadan, and she protects her privates, any from eating indecent acts with other than her husband, and she obeys her husband, she will enter paradise through any door she wishes. She will enter paradise through any door she wishes. And it has also been reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Abdul Rahman bin Auf, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet ﷺ said, if a woman praise her 5, and fast her month, and she protects her privates, and she obeys her husband, it will be said to her, enter into Jannah by any door or through any door you wish. The Sheikh mentioned, Sheikh Abdul Razak, may Allah preserve him, he mentioned, this is a great Sheikh Abdul Razak mentioned, we congratulate the female, the Muslim female, due to this great promise, this wonderful promise, this good, this great good that Allah has promised her because of doing these 4 actions. Because of doing these 4 actions. Actions that a woman can count on one hand. It is not that the female needs 2 hands to count these actions, but in fact, on one hand, she can count these actions. If she preserves these particular actions, it will be said to her, enter into Jannah through any door you wish. Isn't it a wonderful reality? Isn't it a true, wonderful reality for a female who is sincere to herself that she pays concern and focus and attention to these specific characteristics that have been mentioned in the hadith? That she pays concern to these elements that have been mentioned in this hadith, and that she conditions herself to implement them and perform them. What are these characteristics or elements? She protects her salat, her prayer. She protects the month of Ramadan. She preserves and protects her privates. She preserves and protects the rights of her husband. And then she comes, she obtains this great, wonderful promise of Allah and this great good. It would be said to her on the Day of Judgment, enter into paradise through any door you wish and desire.
إن أساس الصلاح في المرأة صلاحها مع ربها بحسن طاعته وحسن التقرب إليه والمواظبة على عبادته، فإن هذا الصلاح وتلك الاستقامة هي سر سعادتها وسر فلاحها وسر توفيقها في حياتها كلها بما في ذلك حياتها الزوجية وصلاح أولادها وذريتها وعيشها العيش المبارك الهنيء. ولهذا كان متأكدا على من أرادت لنفسها الخير، ومتأكدا على أولياء الأمور الذين يحبون لبناتهم الخير أن ينشئوهم أو ينشئوهن على الصلاح والاستقامة والمحافظة على العبادة، ولا سيما العناية بفرائض الإسلام، ولا سيما الصلوات الخمس وصيام شهر رمضان، والبعد عن كل ما يؤثر بعفة المرأة وشرفها، وهو ما جاء بيانه في هذا الحديث بقوله وحفظت فرجها. وحفظ المرأة لفرجها أمر يتطلب منها ومن ولي أمرها سد المنافذ والوسائل التي يكون بها الفساد ويحصل من خلالها الشر وتتداعى من جهتها الآثام والعياذ بالله. فهذا مطلب عظيم ينبغي على من أرادت لنفسها الخير أن تنشئ نفسها عليه، تحافظ على طاعة الله وعبادة الله والتقرب إليه سبحانه وتعالى بما يرضيه من سديد الأقوال وصالح الأعمال. ثم إذا من الله عليها بالكفؤ الكريم، والزوج المناسب عليها أن تتقي الله فيه من أول الزواج وفي بدايته.
Then the Shaykh went on to say, verily the foundation of correction in a female is her uprightness with her Lord and her good obedience to her Lord and her seeking nearness to her Lord and conditioning herself to worship Allah. For verily, this is her correction. For verily, this correction and this uprightness, this is the secret. This is the secret of her happiness. And this is the secret of her joy. This is the secret of her having success in her life, every aspect of her life. And from the aspects of her life, meaning from the aspects of her life that are going to have joy and happiness and the likes, is her marital life. And the correction and the uprightness of her children and her offspring and her living a blessed, happy life. And because of that, it is a certain obligation upon a female that wants for herself good, and it is a certain confirmed obligation upon those who are responsible for females, those who want the females to be raised upon good and to have good and to obtain good in their lives, every aspect of it, is that they raise the females upon good and uprightness and correctness, and that they raise the females upon preservation of worship, specifically the obligations of Islam, specifically the 5 daily prayers, specifically the fasting of the month of Ramadan. And they distance the females from every single element and factor that can affect, in the wrong way, that can affect their chastity and their merits. And this is that which is, its clarification has come in the hadith, in the previously mentioned hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and she protects her privates. The Shaykh said, and the protection of the privates is something that demands from the female, and it demands from the individual who is responsible for the female, that they close off and shut every means that evil can reach and enter into the female, and every means and path that can have an evil effect upon the female, and we seek refuge in Allah. So this is a great obligation that whoever wants for themselves, yani whichever female, as well as the one who is responsible for the female, whoever wants good for the female, it is upon them mandatory. It is upon them to raise the female upon good and to shut every door to other than good. The female, for happiness, she must protect and preserve obedience to Allah, worship of Allah, seeking nearness to Allah. She does so by implementing and performing the actions that please Him, from good statements, from righteous actions, before she's married. And then if she does that, then later on, when Allah Azza wa Jal provides for her a precious, befitting husband, then she must now fear Allah with regards to her husbands from the first day of the marriage. From the beginning of the marriage, she has to fear Allah with regards to this new husband.
وهذا يستوجب أن ننبه على مسألة أصبح الخطأ فيها شائعا والخلل فيها متكاثرا ألا وهو الإسراف والبذخ الذي يكون في ليلة الزواج وفي نفقة الزواج وهذا أمر خطره بالغ وضرره عظيم وكثير من النساء إذا أقبلت على الزواج اتجه اهتمامها للشكليات واتجه اهتمامها لمشاكلة بنات جنسها ونظيراتها فلانة من الناس فعلت وفي الزواج الفلاني فعلوا كذا تتجه بنظرها تلك النظرة فيأتي الإسراف ويقع البذخ ويكثر التبذير وإضاعة الأموال إضافة إلى ما قد يقع أيضا من منكرات ومحرمات فتكون هذه البداية والتقدمة بين يدي الزواج سببا لقصور البركة وقلة الخير بخلاف ما إذا ابتعدت المرأة عن ذلك وابتعد أهلها عن ذلك وجانبوا الإسراف وجانبوا المعاصي والآثام وكانت النفقة نفقة لا كلفة فيها ولا إسراف ولا تبذير فهنا تتحقق الخيرية وتحل البركة ولهذا جاء في الحديث الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو في سنن أبي داود من حديث عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله عنه قال خير النكاح أيسره خير النكاح أيسره وفي حديث آخر أعظمهن بركة أقلهن مؤونة فخير النساء أيسره ولهذا ينبغي على المرأة وعلى الأب وعلى الأم أن يكون نصب أعينهم في النكاح وفي مراسيم الزواج التيسير لا التعسير التواضع لا التعالي والترفع الرفق والأنات وعدم الإسراف وعدم البذخ لا أن يكون هم الأب أو الأم أو الزوجة هذه الأوصاف الذميمة إسراف وبذخ وإضاعة للأموال فهذا أمر له تأثيره في الحياة الزوجية كلها سلبا وإيجابا فإذا كان هناك يسر وتيسير وبعد عن الإسراف كان ذلك من دواعي حلول البركة ونزول الخير وإذا بدأ بالإسراف والتبذير والمعاصي وأنواع الآثام فهذا من أعظم أسباب انتزاع البركة والعياذ بالله.
Then the Sheikh goes on to say, this particular affair demands from me to point out another affair which its dangers have become widespread and common. And this particular affair that I'm referring to is the extravagance and the waste which takes place the night of the marriage, which is the wedding party. And that which takes place in spending on the wedding itself. And this affair of waste and extravagance, this affair of waste and extravagance is extremely dangerous. And many women, if they intend to get married, and they are going to in fact do so, their focus turns towards competing and being similar to other females. They say, Fulana, or she, did such and such. And her wedding party was like such and such. They did such and such in her wedding party of extravagance and lavishness and the likes of that. And because of that, this extravagance and this waste and this lavishness enters into her wedding party and wasting of wealth, as well as that which takes place in the wedding party from evil and things are forbidden. So what takes place is the beginning of her marriage, that which took place at the beginning of her marriage, which, and what we're referring to is the wedding party, that which took place of sin, extravagance, waste, lavishness, and the likes of that. This is how she begins her marriage, and because of that, this leads to a decrease in blessing and little good in her marriage. But on the other hand, if she was to abstain, her and her family, if she was to abstain and reject this extravagance and this lavishness and this waste, if she was to reject these particular things, and she spent, her family, they spent on the marriage the amount which is, does not bring about difficulty, and they were not extravagant, then by doing so, they would bring about good, and the blessing from Allah would be present in the marriage. And because of that, it has come in the hadith, which is authentic, and it is reported in the Sunan of Abi Dawood, on the authority of Uqba bin Amir, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the best marriage is the easiest. The best marriage is the easiest. And there is another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, the most blessed of them, meaning of the female, the most blessed of them, either the female or the marriage itself, is the marriage that requires the most least of wealth. Is the marriage that requires the least of wealth. So because of that, the best of the females are the females that demand the most least or the least of wealth from the man. Because of that, it is befitting, the Shaykh said, because of that, it is befitting for the female and for the father and for the mother that they make their focal point in marriage, in the affair of the marriage of their daughter, that they make their focal point to make the marriage easy and not difficult. They should make the marriage humble and not extravagant. They should make the marriage gentle and not difficult. They should not be extravagant. They should not be lavish. They should not be wasteful. And their focal point, the focal point of the father and of the mother and of the wife, should not be these blameworthy characteristics that we have mentioned previously. And this affair that we're referring to, extravagance and the opposite, humbleness and the likes of that, this has its major effects and influence upon the marital life, whether pro or con. So if the family seeks ease in the marriage, this is one of the reasons why Allah is going to give them the barakat. He's going to give them the blessing. He's going to send down the khair. He's going to send down the good. And opposite for the opposite. If they started off with extravagance and wastefulness and the likes and sin and different types of sins, then this is one of the greatest reasons why Allah is going to remove the blessing from the marriage, and we seek refuge in Allah.
ثم من صفات الزوجة الصالحة الحذر من الشيطان الرجيم أعاذنا الله وإياكم منه الحذر من الشيطان الرجيم والشيطان مهمته في هذه الحياة الإفساد، إفساد الدين، إفساد الخلق، إفساد المعاملة، إفساد العشرة، إفساد الأخوة، مهمته الإفساد. وفي كل يوم يبعث بعوثا ويرسل جندا للقيام بهذه المهام. وتأملوا معي هذا الحديث، وهو في صحيح مسلم من حديث جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن إبليس يضع عرشه على الماء، إن إبليس يضع عرشه على الماء وفي طريق البحر، ثم يبعث سراياه، أي يرسل الجنود والبعوث للإفساد، ثم يبعث سراياه فأدناهم منه منزلة أعظمهم فتنة، يعني أقربهم إليه أعظمهم فتنة بين الناس، أدناهم منه منزلة أعظمهم فتنة، يجيء أحدهم يعني أحد هؤلاء الجنود فيقول: فعلت كذا وكذا، فيقول: ما صنعت شيئا. ثم يجيء أحدهم فيقول: ما تركته حتى فرقت بينه وبين امرأته، ما تركته حتى فرقت بينه وبين امرأته، فيدنيه منه، إبليس يدني هذا منه، فيدنيه منه ويقول: نعم أنت، يدنيه منه ويقول: نعم أنت. قال الأعمش: أراه قال، فيلتزمه، أي يحتضنه ويقربه منه ويدنيه، إذا فرق بين المرأة وزوجها. هنا تحتاج المرأة الصالحة والزوجة الصالحة أن تتفقه في هذا الباب وأن تعي هذه الحقيقة، وكذلك زوجها أن يعي كل واحد منهما أن ثمة عدو خفي يراك ولا تراه، ويجري منك مجرى الدم من العروق، ينفث، يوسوس، يكيد، يمكر، كل ذلك يمارسه وأنت لا تراه، يلقي في قلبك، يلقي في قلبها، يطرح الوساوس، يوقع الشكوك، إلى أن تقع العداوات، وله منافذ. ولهذا جاءت السنة بالتحصين منه عند دخول البيت، عند المعاشرة، عند الطعام، عند الغضب، في كل أمر من الأمور يحتاج الإنسان إلى التحصين من الشيطان، لئلا يشاركه الشيطان في أهله وبيته وولده، فيحتاج أن يحصن نفسه بالأذكار المباركة، بالقرآن الكريم، بالدعوات المأثورة، بالمحافظة على طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى وعبادته. إذن نقول هنا إن من صفات الزوجة الصالحة الحذر من كيد الشيطان ونزغ الشيطان ووساوس الشيطان وما يلقيه الشيطان في النفوس مما يترتب على الإصغاء له وسماعه فساد العشرة وتهدم البيت، بيت الزوجية. وكم من الأسر والبيوتات حصل الفراق الذي لم يكن بعده رجعة بطاعة الشيطان واتباع وساوس الشيطان، ولو أن كل واحد منهما تعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وابتعد عن نزغاته ووساوسه لما وقعت تلك الأمور ولا حصل ولم يحصل ذلك التفرق. كم من البيوت حصل فيها تفرق بسبب طاعة الشيطان، ثم يذهب هذا المفسد من الشياطين إلى إبليس لتدنو منزلته منه وتقرب مكانته عنده بما أحدثه من فرقة بين الزوجين.
Then the Shaykh went on to say, in continuation from the characteristics of a righteous wife is that she has to be cautious of the accursed shaitan. May Allah protect, the Shaykh says, may Allah protect me and you from him. He continued by saying, the shaitan, his goal in this life is to corrupt the religion, to corrupt the creation, to corrupt the character, to corrupt the dealings, to corrupt a person's life, to corrupt brotherhood. His purpose, his goal is to corrupt. And every day the shaitan sends an army, a committee, for the purpose of corruption. He said, pay close attention with me, this hadith, which is reported in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the Prophet ﷺ said, verily Iblis, another name for the shaitan, verily Iblis places his throne upon water, meaning in the middle of the ocean. Then he sends committees, meaning he sends armies for the purpose of evil and corruption. And the closest individual, meaning the most beloved individual, and the individual that the shaitan brings close to him, is the one that does, performs, causes, brings about the most fitna, the most evil. So an individual, meaning he brings about the most fitna and evil and discord between the people. So what takes place is, one of the shayateen that has gone about to cause enmity and evil and discord, he comes and he says, I did such and such. The shaitan responds, or the major shaitan, Iblis, responds, you've done nothing. Then another individual comes and says, I did not leave that individual until I separated him and his wife, until I caused a separation between him and his wife. The shaitan grabs that individual, he brings him close, he says, what a great individual you are. Al-A'mash, the narrator of the hadith, he said, I understood that the shaitan holds him, he hugs him, he keeps him close because of the separation that that individual caused between him and his wife. Sheikh Abdul Razak explained by saying, because of this, and at this point, it is incumbent upon the female, the righteous female, and the righteous wife, that she becomes aware and knowledgeable about this affair. And she realizes this reality. And likewise, her husband, he must realize this reality, both of them. It is incumbent, obligatory, mandatory upon the both of them to realize this affair, that there is a hidden enemy. He sees you, but you do not see him. And he flows in your veins like the flowing of blood. And he blows, and he whispers, and he plots and plans. All of this, this enemy is able to perform while seeing you, and you cannot see him. He places that which he wishes in your heart. He places in your hearts whispers, doubts, enmity, and he has means and paths and doors that we do not know about. And because of that, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ has come with the protection from the shaitan. An individual should protect themselves when they enter into their home. Individual has the means of protection when they enter their home. The individual has a means of protection when they sit with their family. The individual has a means of protection when they eat their food. The individual has a means of protection when they're angry. All of these affairs, it is mandatory and incumbent upon an individual to fortify and protect himself from the shaitan. In order for the shaitan not to accompany you when you're with your family, not to accompany you in your house, not to accompany you with your children, an individual needs to protect themselves with the blessed supplications that have been mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ. They need to protect themselves with the precious Quran. They need to protect themselves with the supplications and remembrance that have been mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ. They need to protect themselves by preserving obedience to Allah and continuous worship of Allah. Therefore we say, from the characteristics of a righteous wife is that she protects herself from the plots and the plans of the shaitan. She protects herself from the whispers of the shaitan and that which the shaitan tries to place in the soul. And this is done so, yani, the shaitan is able to do this by an individual listening to him, by an individual giving in to him, by a person listening to his evil and the likes. And when this is done, corruption will take place in the marriage. Destruction will take place in the house. How many families, the Shaykh goes on to say, how many families and how many houses, homes, separation has taken place, and then the Shaykh goes on to say, and the second part of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله, which means they protect the rights of their husband when they are not present. They protect and preserve the rights of their husbands when the husband is absent, and this is also when the husband is present. They protect and preserve his wealth. They protect and they preserve his bed. They protect and they preserve the rights of the husband and the obligations towards him. They are protectors in the absence of their husbands. Also, the female which fulfills this obligation, the female who fulfills this obligation of protection, she does so by the help of Allah, by the success of Allah. She does so by the ease of Allah, His assistance, His guidance and direction. And that's why Allah said, حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. Yani, they protect in the absence of their husbands, they protect the rights and the likes in the absence of their husbands with that which Allah has ordered them to protect. Meaning, this affair is not merely because of the qualifications and the capability of the female, nor is it because of the intelligence of the female. But in fact, it is implemented and performed by the female based on the tawfiq, based on the success of Allah, based on the guidance and the direction of Allah, the ease.